Deep within the Geek Cave, there lives a sarcastic woman who jumped the snark years ago. With her cynicism talisman forever upon her neck, she guides you through the cinematic wasteland. It's time for the More Than Monthly Movie Review from the GRD Cinemistress, Carol the Cat.
Hello, Twizzlers. This is the Cinemistress, and I went to the movies. I went and saw Joker, the new psychological thriller produced by DC Films and Warner Brothers, directed by Todd Phillips, who previously directed a bunch of comedies that I really didn't like, and stars Joaquin Phoenix, Robert De Niro, and Zazie Beetz, but mostly Joaquin Phoenix. This is, of course, the gritty, violent origin story of the character of the Joker, played here by Phoenix, and is the latest attempt by DC Films to get another Oscar, something they've been chasing ever since Heath Ledger won an Oscar for portraying the Joker in The Dark Knight. As usual, I will save spoilers to the end of the review, and I will give you fair warning. So, did they succeed? Is this violent take worth seeing? Let's find out. But first, your plot. It is 1981, and Arthur Fleck is a clown for hire working in Gotham City. Gotham City is basically New York before the cleanup. It's crime-ridden, unemployment is very high, it's filthy, it's dirty, it's very violent. Arthur suffers from a neurological disorder that makes him laugh at very inappropriate times, which I suppose works for a clown for hire. He lives with his mother in a rundown apartment and regularly visits a social worker because apparently he was institutionalized for quite some time. When three yuppie stockbrokers assault Arthur on the subway one night, Arthur strikes back and in doing so gets a new sense of confidence, enough to ask the girl next door out on a date, confront his mother about her past, and become the crown prince of chaos that he is supposed to be. So let's get into the good, the bad, and the ugly of this film. First, the good. I'm not gonna lie, I went into this film very skeptical. I didn't really like any of the trailers that I had seen, and I didn't know if the Joker really needed a gritty, violent backstory. That being said, I truly enjoyed this film. This is really good. Joaquin Phoenix, who's basically made a name for himself playing psychologically disturbed characters, is excellent here. He's fascinating to watch, even when he's doing nothing but just dancing around a room. He obviously went on the Christian Bale diet, not the Christian Bale Batman diet, but the Christian Bale machinist diet, because he looks really wasted here, which fits very well with the character. His interaction with Robert De Niro, who plays a late night talk show host, are really mesmerizing. I could have watched an entire movie of Murray interviewing Arthur Fleck. This movie has been likened to Taxi Driver in quite a few places, and I can actually see the similarities and didn't mind them at all. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, but Cinemistress, last year you hated First Reformed because you felt it was too derivative of Taxi Driver. Well, first I'd like to say, I don't remember reviewing that film for you, so how do you know that? And second, First Reformed was basically Paul Schrader ripping off Paul Schrader. I wouldn't go so far as to say that Joker is an homage to Taxi Driver, it just borrows a lot of the same elements. They do a really good job of not painting Arthur as too much of an anti-hero here. He is just a very troubled guy whose outburst basically starts an avalanche in a very troubled city. The directing here is also really great. I'm not a big fan of Todd Phillips. I didn't like the Hangover movies at all, and I'm not particularly fond of his brand of comedy. But DC always seems to make interesting choices with their directors, and this is actually a really great choice. It's filmed in a very late 70s, early 80s style. Even the Warner Brothers logo was a retro logo. And that lends an incredible atmosphere to the movie, one that I really enjoyed. The soundtrack and the score are also amazing. I like their choice of music. It fit really well with what was going on the screen. I'm giving this movie really high praise because I enjoyed it so much more than I actually thought I would, but it's not a perfect movie by far. And where I think it was let down a little bit was in its writing, which leads us to the bad. There are subplots in this movie that I don't think are needed. Zazie Beetz, in particular, is wasted in this film. She plays the girl next door, who Arthur likes. There's a plot twist in this movie that I don't know if it was supposed to be shocking, but I guessed it immediately. So when they revealed that plot twist, I was shrugging my shoulders and thinking, were we not supposed to know that? As much as I like Zazie Beetz, they needed to either give her a lot more to do or just cut that subplot out completely. Maybe give that time to a more in-depth look at the mental health situation and the fact that Arthur can't get the help he actually needs. to become a functioning member of society. There are also a couple of instances where the movie becomes a bit too pretentious. There's a scene where Arthur pulls everything out of his refrigerator and climbs in. I guess because society is so cold, he wants to feel that cold. I don't know. I'm sure it's very deep. But all I can think is, that's a late 70s refrigerator. He's not getting out of it. These may seem like minor things, and maybe they are, but I just think this movie, which is so well directed and so well acted, needed to be written just a bit better. I think what I really needed in this movie was a little bit more Joker and a little less Arthur Fleck. I mentioned the scene between Joaquin Phoenix and Robert De Niro where Arthur, now in full Joker mode, is on the Murray show. That scene is amazing. Unfortunately, that scene comes in about 3/4 of the way through the movie. So we spend most of the movie with Arthur, who, while a fascinating character, gets to be a tiny bit monotonous. That being said, however, I think this movie pairs up really nicely with Heath Ledger's version of the Joker, and I would not mind seeing a continuation of this story. I just hope if they do a sequel, they spend a little bit more time polishing the script. Two things in particular kind of irritated me, which leads us to the ugly. First, we are supposed to believe that Arthur Fleck is 30 years old. I love Joaquin Phoenix. I think he's a terrific actor. I will watch him in just about anything, but he does not look 30. He is in his late 40s, and he looks like he's in his late 40s because the dude's had kind of a hard life. And I get that Gotham is yucky and icky and adds years to young people, but I was not believing for one instance that this character was that young. They do this because the Waynes are actually in the movie, and Bruce is about 10 at this point, and they need the Joker to be closer to Bruce's age. So when Batman actually happens, the Joker's not a senior citizen trying to fight Batman. The second thing, I guess, involves a little bit of a spoiler, but I don't think it is a really big surprise that Thomas and Martha Wayne die. It's the manner of their death that I was almost laughing about, because in the middle of a riot where people are being killed and beaten up and the city is on fire, Thomas and Martha decided to bring their young son into the city to see Zorro the Gay Blade. How did that conversation happen? Thomas, the city is on fire. We have to stay home. Martha, it's George Hamilton. We're taking the boy in. It just seemed absolutely insane that they would put their young son in that much danger just to see a really bad George Hamilton film. Yeah, fight me on that. Zorro the Gay Blade is bad. Oh, one last thing. Alfred is MI5. There's no way he would have any problem at all dealing with Arthur Fleck. Respect the butler. Those plot points in particular made me question the writing of the entire film, so I'm counting them as ugly here. Final thoughts? This is a very good film. There are a couple places where I wasn't believing what was going on the screen, and it tends to take itself a tiny bit too seriously, but it's well directed, incredibly well acted, looks amazing, and I do actually want to see it again. This is a comic book movie, so I am of course giving it a comic book grading. I am giving Joker an 8.5, very fine plus. If they had just written it a tiny bit better, this would have been near mint. There's just a couple of instances where I just think they took themselves too seriously. And now spoilers.
Spoilers.
Spoilers? What spoilers?
You tell me.
Spoilers.
So the big twist in this is that the girl next door, Olivia, doesn't actually have a relationship with Arthur. He imagines that they go on dates and that they're actually an item, but they are in fact not. It's all in his imagination. And he breaks into her apartment. Well, actually, he just walks into her apartment. Come on, Olivia. Why are you not locking your door in Gotham? He walks into her apartment and she doesn't recognize him. And at that point, we're supposed to be shocked that this relationship is non-existent. Because we go through the whole Sixth Sense scene where they show all of the scenes of them together, only she's not there. And all I could think was, well, duh. I guessed immediately that this relationship was all in his imagination. The first time she says anything to him, she uses his name and he never introduced himself. So I thought we were supposed to know from the get-go that this was an imaginary relationship. It's just a little bit of sloppy writing there to think that this is actually shocking when in fact you kind of gave it away with the first few moments of the relationship. Also, it's nice to know that the medical staff of Gotham Hospital are just about as capable as the police officers in Gotham City, as no one notices that Arthur puts a pillow over his mother's head and suffocates her. The scene takes 5 minutes. Her heart rate goes all over the place, and nobody comes in to check on her. Gotham City, that town needs an enema. This is the Cinemistress signing off. What is it with me being attracted to dudes who play psycho clowns?
GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative Works 3.0 United States License. Come check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and hit up our website at geekradiodaily.com. Find more of Carol the Cat at guardiansofthegeekery.com and purplehairedpixie.com.